this about what kind of church. Is that right? Tim didn't finish up, and he didn't finish. I talked to him last night, and he said they didn't finish, but I told him I'll just start at the paragraph there. A church that does not stand on the Word of God and preach the Word of God is not of God. And that's in page 6. If you don't have a book, we got some. You need one. Everybody have a book? How many of y'all need a book? Need a book? All right. Got something. All right. Huh? What? Page 12. Tim, was that page 12? Oh, okay. Well, we'll go to page 12. Foundation for Christian Living. Really? Where is it at? Bottom of page 12. Oh, man, I wanted to go to the other place. But anyway, let's go to Essentials for Christian Living. It's a full-time, for a full Christian life. All right, let's read that. Page 12. The second essential for a Christian, for living a full Christian life, full of peace and joy and blessing, is prayer. Amen. Was he sure he was on prayer? I thought he was on church, because I thought that was something that Mike was going to do. I thought he was on the church. Yeah. Yeah, well, I thought it was page 6. Laura, you messed me up.
Well, he skipped over. Yeah, he skipped. He started at 5. Yeah, he skipped lesson 4.
He was in lesson 5?
Yeah, he's page 12, sorry.
Yeah. How in the world are you supposed to teach, man, if you don't know where we're at? Yeah. I don't know where we're at, but I'll take it. I got Kool-Aid for everybody this morning. Amen. All right, let's go to page 12 again. Let's go back to prayer. Now, there's a lot of books out on prayer. Watchman Nee is I think you have that over in the bookstore, don't you?
We did. I'm a
He had, what is it?
Ian Bounds.
Ian Bounds on prayer. I think the most lacking thing in Christian's life is our prayer life. Besides reading the Bible, I mean, that's, you know, isn't it something how we get so busy and you get so caught up in life and, you know, you say, I want to be a good Christian. I want to live for God. I want to do what's right. And the essentials we don't even do. And prayer. And prayer is what is our lifeline and talking to God. And, man, if we don't talk to God and let God talk to us, man, our lifeline is cut off. It's like sending troops into battle. You got missionaries on the field. That's why Wednesday night is important. People don't think Wednesday night's that important, but it is important. And your Christian life is a prayer life. Is very important. If you don't pray, I find myself lacking in prayer. And I try to pray all the time. I try to, you know, people, as soon as somebody says, hey, I've learned this from Dr. Rubin. As soon as somebody says, hey, preacher, I got a question, I go, oh, God, help, please. And I start praying. I had a guy call me this morning. And I'm trying to make it a habit of praying. When somebody calls me about a need, I try to make it a habit right then to pray because I'll forget about it. And a guy called me this morning and said, I'm getting ready to get kicked out of my place. I'm months behind. Him and his wife, they've been here a couple of times. And in his brother Lee, he called. And the guy is not lazy. He's definitely not lazy. He's just awkward, and nobody wants to hire him. You know, according to the Obama administration, job rate is only at a low 5%, but they don't even record all the people. They just quit looking. They quit, you know. But anyway, the guy's not lazy, but I prayed with him. I prayed God. You say, do you believe God can answer prayer? Oh, I know he can. I know God can. And sometimes things happen in your life for God to get you to pray. I mean, we go on in life and things, and all of a sudden we run into a wall. We go into a wall and we go, boom, we run into a wall. Oh, what's that? Where'd that come from? Man, what? And you try to get around it. You try to do everything. You try to figure it out. You're looking at it, and then we don't even pray. And you got to pray for God to open the door. And for God to open the door so you can, you know, if it's an obstacle, then you can step over it and step up on over it rather than being a stumbling block. But people don't pray. And I'm tell you, a person that prays, they see things happening.
Right.
And things happen in their life. And I tell you this, I lose a boat. I'm out there in the gravel, I'm losing the boat. You said, do you pray about the boat? Yes, I pray about the boat. I pray, God, help me find that boat. And then you said, when I find it, I go, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
If you don't do that, God ain't going to answer your prayer, man.
Right.
Thank you, Lord, for that boat. I needed that boat because, man, you know how hard that boat is to find? I mean, to find the right boat. Phew. I always tell people we're nuts, but we're screwed to the right boat. Let's go back to the book. Maybe I hope I'm not going to be like Tim, take 3 weeks on. Second essential for living a full Christian life, full of peace, joy, and blessing. And I believe this is prayer. If I didn't believe this, folks, I would say, let's mark it out of your Bible. Just mark this thing out. Let's forget this whole thing. Prayer works.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And when something's going on in your life, if you don't know how to get a hold of God, you need to get hold, learn how to get a hold of God, and God's trying to teach you. Rex Harrison used to sing the song, take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson, till you quit your whining. And he sing that song. And what happens is our Christian life, we're constantly going in circles.
Amen.
We're not going forward because we haven't learned. Wouldn't it be terrible? You find out you get to heaven, you stayed in the same spot spiritually because you haven't learned.
Amen.
Just going around the mountain, around the mountain. Around the mountain. I like to see things happening.
Amen.
I like things moving. And I think the Lord does too. Prayer changes things. Now look what else it says. Now folks have a funny idea about prayer. They think that prayer is reciting or reading out in a little book. You know, and that's, you see that in a lot of religion. You know, they teach them. Brother Bilbo has a book. It's kind of funny. I gave it back to his son when his son was here. It was a prayer book. It was given to him in 1935. He was at the Blue Coat School in Birmingham, England. Do you know where that is? The Blue is it still established? But it's in Birmingham. Say it, brother. Say it. Come on.
Birmingham.
There you go. And he got it, and they taught him, you know, prayers. And a lot of times in religion, they teach you. You know, prayers, it was about baby dedication or baby baptism, all that stuff. We don't baptize babies. We dedicate them. But they taught them prayers. But the best prayer is when a person just does it from all with their heart. I've had people, I've led people to the Lord, and they say, well, I don't know how to pray. I say, yes, you do. But I'll help you. The night I got saved, you said, that doesn't work. The night I got saved, I repeated a prayer with the preacher that showed me how to be saved. I was scared, man. I mean, you trying to act tough and everything else, but I was scared. And I said, man, I don't know how to pray. And he said, well, I'll help you. But I meant it when I prayed it. I meant it. You can pray all the prayers you want. Don't mean it. It ain't going to have nothing happen. Look what it says down here. It says, they think that prayer is reciting or reading out of a little book. The prayer is given just talking to God. God has promised to answer a prayer of his children. Look at Luke chapter 11. God promised that. And we always listen for the children when they first talk and when they say things and how funny they are. I think God does the same thing when you talk to him. A lot of times when you pray, when you first learn how to pray, you don't know what you're praying. You'd hardly, you know, you have a need, and I hope that's what you have a need, and you ask God, and you say, Lord, help me. And the Lord says, man, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Your first prayer is when you got, you know, I remember as a kid, I do remember this. Lord brought it back in my mind one time. I was laying in bed, and I heard my mom and dad. This is no lie. I was just laying there in bed. I was like 5 years old, and I remember my mother and father fighting, arguing out there. I remember them fighting and cussing, and I remember laying in bed, and I don't know where it came from. I know it's the Lord, and I wasn't even saved, but I was safe. And I remember laying there praying, God, don't let my mom and dad go to hell. I remember praying that. Don't let them go to hell. You know what God did? He honored that prayer when I was a child. Now, I've heard guys say the only prayer God hears, which is basically the truth in a sense, but, I mean, I think God hears those prayers, and sometimes there's a child innocence God answers.
Yep.
And God wants you to pray that prayer of faith and trust in him as his son as your Lord and Savior. That's an important prayer. And then you have time where you can get alone with God. Look what the Bible says about a Christian. And here's a great verse, Luke 11, verse 9. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. It's not like asking, Lord, let me win the lottery. Since you won't let me win the lottery, you must not answer prayer. You must not be real. No, that's not it. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he also for a fish give him a serpent? For if he shall ask any egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's a great verse. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, you're saying, you know, the Bible tells you to pray according to his will. Pray, not my will, but thine be done. You ask the Lord, say, Lord, my life belongs, I know you've saved me, and my life, the Bible says, is hidden in God, but I want to give my life back to you. I want you to control my life. I want you to have control, and I want you to guide me. I tell you, God will answer that prayer. But you got to remember that, because what happens is you'll forget, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? God's trying to teach you. Look what it says. But sin sometimes interrupts our lines of communication. Psalm 66, 18. No sin, so sin must be confessed to God and to hear our prayers. I believe that. I believe you can't come into, just like the Old Testament saints of God, they could not come without an offering. And they had to come in with an offering. And when the high priest went in and they had an offering that was, first thing you walked, if you look at that tabernacle out there, the first thing when you walked into the tabernacle grounds, the first thing you saw was a brazen altar. That was a type of hell. And a sacrifice is there. Jesus Christ became our sacrifice. The next thing is the waver of the water, getting cleansed. That's what prayer is a type of, is getting cleansed. And as a child of God, after you've gotten saved, you need a daily cleansing. The chief priest could not go into the Holy of Holies once a year without, I mean, he had to have special garments on. He couldn't sweat. He couldn't do anything. I mean, he had to have confessed the sins of the people, and he had to confess his own sins. I mean, things had to be right, and he came in and took that blood. If he didn't, they say that they tied a rope. That's what legend has it. They tied a rope to the guy's leg in case if he wasn't right, God killed him right there, and they had to drag him out. So here we are. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Take your Bible, look in Hebrews chapter 4. Look at this. Here we are in the dispensation of the New Testament of grace. Here we are. We can come into God, and sometimes we go right bursting in there. We're not even clean, and we go in there, and then we don't confess anything. Where is it? 16. Look up verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ. Now he was our sacrifice. That is wild, because in the Revelation the Bible says there's a lamb that stood before the throne. He was the sacrifice, the brazen altar. He was the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. And then he's the way of cleansing. And then he's our high priest. He goes in and makes in, and then he's our counselor. He makes intercession for us to God, because we belong to him. Man, you can't beat the system that the Lord set up. He is everything. He's our all in all. The Bible says in verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavenlies, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't waver, man. Knowing that he's there, he'd make an intercession for you. Don't shame him. Don't shame the name of Jesus Christ. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. Amen. When you pray, when you talk to him, he knows what's in your heart. He knows how you feel. Mm-hmm. He knows the loneliness. He knows the depression. He knows all that stuff. Amen. Tell him about it. So, Lord, I shouldn't be like this. I know I'm wrong. Now help me, Lord. I'm telling you something. You start singing to him. You start praising him. Things change. It says, for we have a not high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are. You need to underline that in your Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses can't get a hold of that. He was the son of man, but he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. So how can he be God and also be tempted like that? How? Because he became man. He says, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now look what it says, verse 16. In these verses you need to underline in your Bible. Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of what? That's why prayer is so important. I have a need, Lord. Only you can meet that need. And I don't want to tell people about it. I want to go around begging. I don't need to tell people so they feel sorry for me. I got to the place in my life that I wanted to see God do something. And I didn't want to tell nobody. I got to the place where I said, Lord, if you're real, which I know you are, you can do it. And I've seen God do it. You'll get to a place in your life, you'll get tired of riding mama's coattails, daddy's coattails, or the preacher's coattails, or some other Christian's coattails, and you say, I want to know on my own. I want to start growing on my own. Yeah, I want to get to know God on my own.
Yes,
I want him to answer my prayer.
Yeah.
I want him to be real to me. You'll get to that place where you get tired of all that. You have to be clean. And I believe that. I believe we ought to come to God. We ought to be clean. And say, Lord, you know my heart's wicked. Look in 1 John 1:9. We've went through this. A lot of people saying, rip it out of your Bible. Take it out of your Bible. They're crazy. They're crazy. What should a Christian do when he sins? If we confess,
amen,
children of God,
right,
if we confess our sins, he is faithful.
Thank God
he is faithful. You know what? You might sin against me or I might sin against you. You might not forgive me and I might not forgive you. But if we come to him. Now, I'm not saying there's not going to be consequences.
Right. Right.
You can do something wrong and there's consequences with it.
Amen.
He'll forgive you. But there's a consequence. Why? Because the law of sowing and reaping is still there. He don't break the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is still, you're going to reap what you sow.
Amen.
Now, God can, he can stop the ships from coming in as heavy laden and maybe delay them for a while. And I remember Soche was preaching on a tape, and he said, he asked Brother Peacock or somebody, he was preaching on your ships come in one day. And he said, couldn't I just sink them out there in the ocean? Because he said, I got some bad stuff that might be coming in. And he goes, no, you'll have to unload them. You'll have to unload them. If we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 51. Look at Psalm 51. This is David. David, I love this. In the Old Testament, you could lose the Holy Ghost to God. It wasn't a permanent seal on you or in the Old Testament saints. New Testament, you're sealed to the day of redemption. You got God inside you, but the Bible tells you not to grieve the Holy Ghost of God, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. You're sealed to the day of redemption, but you can grieve him. David was scared to death that he was going to lose the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Like Saul, he watched what happened to Saul. He was sitting in the room playing music, singing praises to God, and he watched Saul turn into a devil and go, he's just mad. You ever notice people walk around always mad? You know what that is? That's unclean spirits. You always got a bad attitude? That's unclean spirits. You always depressed? That's unclean spirits. You're messing with something, man. You need to get that thing clean. You need to get clean. Psalm 51. I always ask people if they're always fighting and arguing and everything. That's unclean spirits. You shouldn't be that way. If a saint of God is saved,
amen,
you should get cleansed. You should have some joy. Psalm 51, look at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. You need to acknowledge that you're sinning.
Amen.
You need to acknowledge. Say, Lord, That thought, I just thought, that means you'd be praying all the time. Pray without ceasing. That guy cut me off, Lord. I had a bad thought towards him. I shouldn't have. Pray out. God, save him. Just start. If you start praying, whoever does you wrong, people you see, just start praying. God, save him. God, save him. God, save him. God, save him. Have mercy on him. God, save him. I'll tell you what, man. That'll change you. It'll change your way of thinking. You start praying, God, save them, rather than saying, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. Who cares? God knows. You know, the Bible says that being good to somebody, you heap coals of fire on their head. You want to get them back. Be nice to them. So that, how's that happen? Well, God's, because they'll sit around and say, why did I say that to that person? Why did I do that? And it says you heap coals of fire on them. So I don't understand. Like, I've gotten mad at people, and I've been in the flesh. You get in the flesh, and I've been there. I've gotten mad, and I've had to ask God, forgive me. I acknowledge my transgressions. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only. I like this. You might think, you sin against the person, but David said, against thee and thee only. You know when he wrote this? Is after he sinned with Bathsheba. And he had Uriah, her husband, killed. He wrote this. I mean, here, he's messing with another man's wife. She gets pregnant, going to have his child. Her husband is fighting for the nation of Israel out there. And then David sends a death warrant with the guy. Then he gets him drunk on top of that. He brings him back, gets him drunk, tries to persuade him to go home, tries to get him drunk the second night. And tries to persuade him. Then he knows he can't persuade the guy. And David sees himself in the guy. And David writes the letter to Joab. When the battle gets raging, put Uriah in the hottest part. And when it gets raging, back everybody away and let him die. A good man. A man that loved his wife. A man that loved his nation. A man that loved his king. Have him killed. And David writes, against thee, and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. A child would naturally do wrong. You have to teach that child right. Behold, thou desirest truth in inward parts. And see, if a person's not honest, today society teaches we're all good. We all are made in God's image. And we all are like God. And we are a God. And we need to just to be as a God. And when you start saying, no, there's none good, I ain't no good. Oh, don't put yourself down. No, no, no. That's too much negativity. We need to be more positive in our walk. And if you don't see yourself as you really are, then you ain't going to see nothing else as it really is. You got to see yourself as you really are. Let's go back. I'll get in something else here. All right, let's go back to the book. Go back to the book. Psalm 51, 1 through 4 tells us that when we have sinned, we have sinned against the Lord. The word prayer means to humbly ask. That's what God wants us to do, humbly ask, and then wait for his answer. That's the biggest thing in our Christian life is waiting for an answer. We want it happen now. We want it now. Look at verse number 3. God has promised to God has promised to give if you will ask. But there are two conditions for your prayers to be answered, according to John 15. Go to John 15. John 15. There's two conditions. How many of y'all know what they are? We'll find out here. There's in the passage, but John 15. You need to underline these in your Bible. You need to underline so you can have, go back to them. All right? John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. He said, abide in me and my words abide in you. He said, well, if I'm saved, I'm in him. Well, he's talking about abiding in his will, abiding in his will, being in him and being a part of him and being part of what he wants in your life, letting him run it. And he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you. And like I said, we are so twisted at times in our minds. We think, all we think about, oh, it's got to be money. Yeah. Or we always connect this with money. And God's blessings and God's will is not always you to be rich, like the TV preachers preach. It's not God's will for you to be, you know, you're rich in Jesus Christ, but not in finances and money, because he knows that'll take you away. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And we all have a problem with that love. It gets kind of twisted. And so you've got to be careful. God has promised to give you what you ask, but there are two conditions of our prayers to be answered according to John 15. And they are according to his abiding in his words and asking in his will. That's the thing. Look at 1 Peter 5, 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Anybody want to say anything on that? 1 Peter 5, 7. Anybody? 1 Peter 5, 7. All right. Can we come to the Lord with our problems? Yeah. Yes, sir, we can. We can come to God with our problems. I do all the time. I'm a problem child, and so are you. And we can come to God with our problems. And you know what? It seems like as a pastor, I deal with a lot of other people's problems all the time. And I told my wife, she said, man, it seems like we always, I said, well, I'd rather have the deal and show other people a problem, but didn't have my own. But I still have my own as well. And when you're trying to be a blessing to the Lord, you're trying to be in and a lot of times you think, oh, I want to be in the ministry. I want to be in the ministry. I want to be in the ministry. You think it's a pastor. That ain't always, you're in the ministry. If you're saved and you're trying to live for God and you're trying to serve the Lord, you're in the ministry. You're in the ministry of reconciliation. You're in the ministry of exhortation. There's a lot of ministries that we all fulfill, we should fulfill. But we want the big position a lot of times. We want to, you know, and that's maybe you're not ready for that. And God, you know, God knows that. He knows that if you're ready, the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the east, west, south. It comes from the Lord. So God knows when you're ready for that. But you want to be faithful in the ministry you've given. And what God's given us is reconciliation, exhortation, praying one for another, exhorting one another, those type things. And that's what, you know, a friendly church, I tell people, I always tell people, shake somebody's hand before you go. And the reason why, he goes, hey, brother, how you doing? Man, how's everything? Everything all right? You know, just, but most, a lot of, I see people go out of church, they just do this. As soon as the service is over, I know it's 12:30 when we get out. I've watched people look at the clock and think, our church has never got out at 12 o'clock. Only when the tree or the pole out there caught on fire, I think. We get out at 12:30. But I watch people just go out of the church. They don't shake nobody's hand. Man, what about reconciliation? What about exhortation? What about those things? You want part of the ministry? If you're saved and you're part of this church, you're part of the ministry. Amen. And you pray for the ministry. You pray for souls to get saved. Pray for somebody this morning to come to church and get saved this morning. Man, that's a blessing. If you do it, we're talking about, you know, prayer. Asking God to give us fruit. How many ask the Lord to give you fruit this year? I mean, for you to get fruit, you got to go and prepare for it. You got to plant for it. You got to prune it. You got to do all those things. 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then the exhortation is, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Then he says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. We don't like that verse. After you suffer a while, let's mark that out of our Bible. No, I'm kidding. Don't you do it. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. That's prayer, is asking God. But you know what? You start praying for other people. I was talking to Amy the other night, called me, Amy Kaus. And Amy was telling me about what Jameson's going to have to go through. I started praying right there. I said, Amy, let's pray. I said, would you bring Jameson to the church? So I know your church is going to do it. Pray over him. But bring him here so we can pray over him too. They're going to cut that little boy's skull open and get to his brain. And he's going to lay there with his skull open for 4 days while they attach different things to his brain to find out what's causing his seizures so they can cut that part of his brain out. Whew. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. And for a mother and a father to know that's coming. You'd be saying, where's God at? But God chooses to do what he wants. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, maybe God will intervene and they won't have to do it. I've seen the Lord do that. I've seen the Lord intervene in people's lives. Uh-oh, we need to pray right there. All right, take your Bible, looking for 1 Thessalonians. Are there certain times when we can pray? Look at, Bible tells you to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. I tell the parents, bring your kids to church. Don't bother you. If they have to learn how to sit, they'll learn how to act in church. Don't let that embarrass you. They'll learn. Just take time. Take your time. Don't get upset. It's a teaching process. All right. Junior church teachers have to go through that all the time. Are there only certain times when we can pray? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 17. Three words. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Our memory verse, Psalm 78. Let's look at that. Verse 28 tells us it is good to draw near to God. Look at Psalm 73, memory verse. Whew. I'll get there in a minute. Psalm 73, verse 28. For it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. And we need to memorize that one. That's a good one. Look at James 4:8. What is the first thing you must do for God to draw nigh to you? Draw nigh to him. That's the first thing you do. Draw nigh to him. James 4:8. Go back to James 4:8. These are great verses, man. Great verses in the Bible. Good verses to learn, memorize. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. There it is, cleansing again. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep and let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy into heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. All right, let's see. What else we got here? This same verse is given by us to require for drawing nigh to God. There, James 4:8 and Psalms 73. All right, last paragraph says, this speaks of outward uprightness, doing right, inward uprightness, putting away all sin. The devil is never pleased to see a Christian reading the Bible, praying. These things make a Christian strong, so Satan tries to keep you from doing things daily and consistently. That's the thing, being consistent and doing it daily. Diligently purposing your heart to be faithful in these foundations of a Christian's life. And God will bless you for it. And I will purpose today to read my Bible and pray every day. And if you don't read your Bible and you go a week without reading your Bible, it's just like going without food for a week. You're starving. And you got to read your Bible on your own. You got to spend time in the Word of God on your own. You got to spend time praying. And a lot of times you think about praying, I got to get on my knees. You can pray while you're riding down the road. Now, I'd say when you get on your knees, it's showing a humbleness. That's a real humbleness. You're getting down, and you got time. You can say, oh, God. And that's why I like, when the guys play softball, we always said, when Squiggy leading the softball team, Brother Renee leading the softball team, George, I'd say, tell our guys, always get on their knees. And we watched the other softball teams would look at our guys like, what are you all doing? They would just do this. Because they were there to play the game. They weren't there.
That's right.
It was, they'd go like this. And they'd look around. But then what happened was a lot of the teams started getting on their knees. They started getting down. And there's nothing wrong with getting a little dirt on your nice pants. Amen? Prayer is essential. It's like water in a Christian's life. Physically, you need water. And prayer is we need. We need to talk to God. We need to ask him to help our families, our children. I said this. I pray for my kids even now. They're grown up. They're out of the house. I pray for them even now. I pray for the grandkids even more. Because I never know, like Job said, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. You never know what can happen in one day. Things can change. And I pray, God, please protect us. Put a hedge about us, Lord. Put a hedge around our church. We all had a guy almost died out here on Wednesday night. He came here and overdosed right out here in his van. And he was blocking the entrance here. And I've worked on that van. I think I knew the van, but I didn't know. I thought, who drove that van here? So I came back in and I said, whose van is that out there? Sitting out there running, music blaring. And I walked back out and Eric pulled up. I said, Eric, whose van is it? He said, I don't know, sitting there when I pulled up. I looked inside with nobody in. They opened the door and there was Brother Mike Spicer, leaned over in his seat. Took a bunch of sleeping pills, chased it down, and I reached over and pulled him up, and I noticed it was still in gear, had his foot on the brake. His body weight was still holding it. We turned, Alex jumped in the other side, and a couple of the guys got in there, and trying to wake him up. We called the ambulance, called the police. I was kidding Kerry. I had the ambulances here and everything. I was kidding. I called Kerry up. I said, Kerry, where were you? Wednesday night, I was waiting on you, man. I had the ambulance here. I had the police here, everything waiting for you. And she goes, you think you're funny. You think you're funny. But Mike is all right. He's fine. He's right now, he's going to go to behavioral health, and him and his wife is separated, getting ready to get, maybe divorce, and he's done this. And when a person does something like that, you know what that is? Selfishness. I told the church, pray for him Wednesday night. I said, pray that he gets better so we can beat the tar out of him. Need a whooping. Act like that. We get selfish. We get place where we think God owes us something or somebody owes us something. That's when you'll want to kill yourself. I'm going to tell you something. You say, did Mike pray about doing that? Nope. So when you're thinking of something stupid to do to yourself or somebody else, say, God, help me. God, don't let me think. That's stupid to think that. God, I'm sorry. That's sin. All right, Father, thank you again this morning for your mercy and grace. I pray you bless, Father, our service is coming up. Save that soul, God, here at this nearest hell. Encourage the saints. Help them to live for you. Help us all to do right, to honor you, put you first in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.